Oh dear. Thank you very much. You can take your seats. What a good deal. How good is he? Not me. He. How good is he? How good is he? Come on, let's give God a hand today. Good to see you in church this morning. Great to see you. Well, we're continuing our little conversation that we've been having about being a disciple is what we're doing. And what we're doing is just reminding ourselves where we're going as a church and the kind of church that we are and that we want to be more and more. So here's our vision. It's very simple. It's to reach people, make disciples, and build church. Reach people, make disciples, and build church. That's the journey that we're on. If we're not reaching people, we're not doing it. Yeah. We're not doing it if we're not reaching people. We're here to reach people that are far from God and bring them close to God. If we're not making disciples, we're not doing it. If we're just coming to church and attending a service and just doing it at that level, we're not really doing what Jesus called us to do. We're here to make disciples, and ultimately we're here to build church. Anyone here to do that with me this morning? Come on, that's what we're here to do. Whether you're online today, whether you're a part of our online family, or whether you're in the room with us this morning, that is exactly what we are here to do together as a church, and we are on that journey. Guys, could you bring my sound down? I'm really ringing up here, lots and lots. You know, our new normal that we're all in, it's one of significant change and significant challenge for every one of us. Economically, it's a real challenge at the moment. Spiritually, it's a real challenge at the moment. For businesses, for families, for individuals, and we're all feeling it, and there's a certain amount of anxiety and I guess concern for the future in many regards, because so much of life has changed so rapidly and so unpredictably, so much out of our control. So I'm trying to speak into this space of our new normal, because it's a little different. It's a little different when you come to church on Sundays. And I kind of brace myself for Sundays now. Pastors are trained and schooled to love rooms that are packed, to love every seat full. I mean, you can't get an empty seat saved. You can't grow an empty seat. All you can do is stare at the thing. And it's always uncomfortable for pastors particularly to have empty seats. But this is part of our new normal. And so I want to speak into that for my sake, but also for our sake, and the sake of our leadership as a church, so we understand where we're going. As I said last week, I think this season is the most challenging season I've ever had to lead through and pastor through in terms of navigating uncharted territory. I mean, how we do leadership in this time, how we do discipleship in this moment, how we fulfill our vision and our mission in this moment is really... it's quite challenging, to be honest with you, how we grow people when people are nervous about coming out into, you know, people's homes for connect groups and things like that. So lots of things have shifted, and we're trying to find our feet, like every other organization in the community. We're trying to find our feet about some of our new behaviors, our new gathering methodologies as a church, to find new and creative and stable ways, because so much is shifting, stable ways that we can do that. And so I made this appeal last week. I want to make it again this week in case you missed it. I need your help. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, your pastor needs help. I need your help. I really need your help today. Our leadership needs your help, that we would go on a journey of finding new and creative ways to find connectedness, to build community, and to engage together, and that we'd all have a level of ownership with that. We'd all own that personal responsibility. I really need the church to be super patient at the moment and understanding, to be flexible, to give us the space to make some decisions that we will change. I'd like to have clarity and lay out a plan for 5 years, but it kind of seems like a 5-week plan is a big plan at the moment. Things change so significantly for us all. I mean, you've only got to have someone breach the border and everything changes. And like, it's the same in church world, in church life at the moment. And so we're kind of rolling with the punches in some regards, and particularly in gathering together in small groups. That's a real challenge for us at the moment, and we're trying to navigate the best way to do that so that we feel safe and secure in building that level of community, which is really, really important for part of our discipleship strategy. So discipleship is this. It's a call. It's actually an invitation that Jesus gave to people. When he was on earth, he called them this way. He said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so discipleship is all about following Jesus. We follow him. He doesn't follow us. Turn to your neighbor and say, follow him. Follow him. We follow him. He's not following us. We're following him. And then we're here to reach people. It's a call to reach people. And thirdly, it's a call to build the church. I want to share some thoughts today from, I guess, the pattern and the model for discipleship in the early church when it was first established, because it's a law of first mention. And so we're going to look at the first mention of really what disciples were as they gathered in the early church. It says this in Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves. Now, they is a group of 3,000 odd people that had made a response to a sermon that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says that they believed in Jesus and were added to the church. And it says this, they devoted themselves. Would you say those three words with a whole lot of passion with me this morning? They devoted themselves. Do you know, I can't devote you. Nobody else can devote you. Devotion is only up to you and I. And here it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, so the teaching of God's word. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to communion, the breaking of bread. And they devoted themselves to prayer. And as a result of that devotion, get this, as a result of that devotion, a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. You know, awe and miracles happen in an atmosphere of devotion.
Yeah.
They don't happen in an atmosphere of complacency. They don't happen in an atmosphere of, come on, impress me. They happen in an atmosphere of devotion towards God, and it releases awe and miracles. It says, and all the believers met together in one place. Everyone say all and one. All and one. All the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything that they had. They sold their property, they sold their possessions, and they shared the money with those that were in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, every day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. And they shared meals with great joy. I like that bit. Anyone else like that bit? They shared meals, hospitality, with great joy and with great generosity. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, fully devoted means this. Fully devoted, to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ means to be first of all devoted to God. Fully devoted to God. It means to be devoted to his house, to the house of God, to the church. Wherever your church is, whatever your church is, if you're online and you're new and you're visiting today from another church, wherever your church is, that's what you are to be fully devoted to. It means to be fully devoted to the people in the house. That there's a sense of divine togetherness and connection with the people that come to church. You know, that's been one of the most rewarding and enriching things in my life for decades and decades, is the people in the room. The people that you get to do the journey with. The people's homes that you gather in and meet in. The tables that you sit around. And the people that you eat with and share generosity and hospitality with is one of the most beautiful aspects of the journey together of being a church. Fully devoted means we celebrate together. It means we celebrate in praise. We celebrate Jesus in our worship together. Being fully devoted means we're engaged like you are today. We're leaning in. We're sitting on the front of our seat, not the back of our seat. We're not rocking back, we're rocking in.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and say, rock on.
Rock on.
We're here to rock in. Rock in and lean in to the presence of God and everything God has. Fully devoted means I'm here to grow.
Yeah.
I'm here to grow. I'm here with the hunger and the passion of wanting God to grow me. And your prayer is today, Pastor, grow me, stretch me, challenge me. Give me some conflict today. Anyone want some conflict today? Give me some conflict in my mind today so that I go out of this place stretched. I'm not here to agree with you, Pastor. I'm here to grow today. So bring me into some disagreement so I can be challenged and stressed and stretched today by the word of God. Fully devoted means not only do I grow, it means I contribute. It means I bring something. I bring something to the fellowship. I bring something to the relationship. I bring something to the connection. You know, you don't want to be in anyone in a relationship with someone where they're not bringing anything. If you've got a neighbor next to you, say, bring it.
Bring it.
Really, honestly. You want them to bring it. You need your partner to bring it. You need them to bring something. We're all called to bring something to the table, to bring something to the fellowship, to bring... What did you bring with you today? Did you bring your best? Did you bring your best? Who bought coffee? Why didn't you bring me a coffee? We bring our best. Bring our best today. Anyone else want a coffee? We bring our best today because that's what we're called to bring. You know, I love the amazing atmosphere. I kind of, when I read it, I feel it. I feel that hospitality. I feel that sense of awe coming to church with a full house and that awe of being leaning into the Word of God and feeling the Holy Spirit and miracles happening. It's an amazing atmosphere to read of and feel in the early church. And I think it happened because they simply hungered for God. And I think if we need anything in this season of separation, in this season of isolation, in this season of keep your distance from other people, I think we need a hunger for God. Yeah. Come on, we need a hunger for the house of God. We need a hunger for the person of God. We need a hunger for the presence of God today like never before. It's a good deal to be hungry. It's a good deal to be hungry. Do you know what it's like to be ravenous? Come on, you come home from work, you open the fridge, there's nothing there. You've got to go out to a cafe or a restaurant or ring up your friends or just do the good old drop-in at 5:30 in the afternoon for a coffee and hang around. It's a good deal to be... When you're hungry, you go searching. That's what I do when I'm hungry. I'm at work here. I go searching. I walk into the kitchen. I walk into the pantry. I'm walking into the food co-op. I'm looking for something for my belly because I'm hungry. And that's how we're called to come to the house of God. Come with a hunger. Come with a hunger. Be hungry for the presence of God. Be hungry for the people of God. Be hungry to be around your friends. You don't want to come to church and be alone and never nobody. You want to come to church and bring it for your friends so that there's a sense of engagement with the human beings that you're doing this amazing spiritual journey with. Be hungry for connection. Yeah. Be hungry to get in people's homes and sit around a table and talk about faith. Yeah. Be hungry to pray for people. Yeah. Be hungry to hear people's stories. Be hungry to be known by people and to know people. Yeah. Just be hungry. Be hungry, I think, is the call of what we need. Be hungry to share hospitality. Be hungry to share hospitality with one another. Be hungry for prayer. Be hungry to have conversation with God. Be hungry just to talk to Jesus. Be hungry just to sit in His presence and be still and know that He is God. You know, there's just something about knowing that He is God and I'm not. And I don't have to be God. And I don't have to know it all and do it all. Because I can't know it all and I can't do it all. Just to be hungry that He is God and to know that. Be hungry for reaching people. If people ever needed Jesus, they need Jesus right now. I mean, we're all a little bit anxious. How do you think people without God feel? They're a whole lot anxious. They're a whole lot anxious. Be hungry to be a disciple. I think that's what it takes for the church to become, to use our language today, an essential service. You know, we're not an essential service in the eyes of the community. We're not an essential service in the eyes of the government at all. And I think partially why we're not an essential service is I think the church needs to be challenged about its own hunger. I think we need a revival for hunger. What's a revival? It's simply an awakening. It's like, wake up. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. Come on, you're online today. Wake up. Let's wake up. Let's own our responsibility to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Let history record it the same of us as it did of the early church, that they were fully devoted to the cause and to the person of Jesus Christ. You know, to be added to the church... To be added to the church is exactly what it looks like when I read those verses from the book of Acts. I think it's a sad reflection on the church that when people are added to the church and they're not fully devoted, we think we're stronger, we look stronger, but we're not. We're actually weaker. And numbers are not a reflection of strength, devotion is. Numbers are not a reflection of strength, devotion is a reflection of strength. It's not about the number in the hall today. And that kind of helps me while we have social spacing, because, you know, we have people online, a family online, a community online, but we also have a community in the house today, and we might be forced and manipulated and controlled into having a little bit of space around our world right now. But just because we're here and we're a little less number doesn't mean we're less powerful, because we're looking for devoted disciples of Jesus is what we're looking for. So I'm questioning our level of devotion. Are we devoted today? Are we devoted today? You know, influence flows from devotion, not our number. It flows from devotion, not our number. So what does a fully devoted and developed disciple of Jesus Christ look like? Because I don't think it's necessarily just about attending church. I think attending church is part of the equation, but being the church is more important for me. What's the pathway for a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? How does a fully devoted follower of Jesus function in the church today? Today, what's it look like today? Well, I want to suggest to you it looks a whole lot today like it did in the early church. It looks a whole lot the same, is what I think. And so I've got some thoughts today I want to share and unpack quickly. We're going to unpack the same thoughts next week in a different thought. So firstly, fully devoted followers are this. They're empowered by grace. They're empowered by grace. Now, I'm going to interpret some very basic words for you today as we go through each point, because I want us to capture what these words really mean. A fully devoted follower is empowered by grace. Empowered simply means this. It means to give authority or power to do and be something. To give authority or power to do and be something. And so you have an authority to do and authority to be because of grace. That's what we need to understand today. It's the grace of God. It's not because you've earned it. It's not because you're rewarded for it. It's not because you've become good enough, because we're not good enough. It's because of the grace, the gift of God is what we're told, is what got this whole deal started of God making us right with Him. In the book of Ephesians 2:8, Paul says this, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation, or being made right with God, is not a reward for the good things we have done. No matter how much good you've done, no matter how long you've done it for, it's not good enough, it's not enough to make you right with God. That's purely an act, a gift, the grace of God, so that none of us could boast about it. See, if it was about what we did, I did, you did, we'd boast about it. Look at me, how you like me now, you know, kind of thought. Whereas it's all about what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. So fully devoted followers of Jesus understand that they're made right by God through the gift of God, through the grace of God, through the person of Jesus Christ. And the security that we have today, the confidence that we have in our right relationship with God, it comes from the cross. It doesn't come from our effort. It comes from His performance, not our performance. It comes from His status, not our status. It's a gift that God has given you. So we are gifted today with the person of Jesus Christ that has made us right with God. A grace gift given, Paul says, when we believed in God. So we got started with grace. Not only do we start with grace, we continue the journey in grace. And as a fully devoted follower of Jesus, what happens is you have a developing sense of grace for yourself and also other people. You know, the Bible challenges us to give grace as we have been given grace. To give grace to others as we have been given grace by God. So devoted followers understand I'm graced with salvation and being made right with God, and I give that to other people. I express that to other people. I give people the grace and the graciousness that God has shown me. You see, when we're fully understanding that we are empowered by grace, it enables us to lean into God and all that He has for us. And not only all He has, but all He asks of us. All that He asks of us. You see, if we don't understand grace in that way, then nothing works. And that's why religion doesn't work for people. Because they may start in grace, but they end in works. And you can't confuse those two. Paul talks about that. There's a separateness. There's a spiritual distancing between grace and works. They do not belong together. Nothing else works if we don't understand grace. And we end up questioning everything. Grace actually settles every argument. It settles every argument. Paul says this in Romans 12. He says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, I'm begging you, give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. In other words, Paul's saying God wants your whole life. He wants your whole life is what he wants. Let your life be a living sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. When you think, listen to these words, when you think of what he's done for you, is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask? So Paul says, I'm begging you to understand there's nothing God asks of you that's too much for you. There's nothing God asks of you that is too much for you. And that's a question every fully devoted follower has to settle. Because sometimes in church, you'll hear the word of God and you go, God, you want what? You mean you want me to serve you? We talked last week about Paul introducing himself to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 1 verse 1. And he starts the conversation to the Roman church. He starts his letter by saying, Paul, 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 an apostle, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, empowered them with the message and the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul knew who he was. Paul knew whose he was, and he knew what he was called to do. I think there's a real sense of a need to embrace grace to respond to God with a yes for everything God asks of us. So yes, God wants us to serve him. It's not too much to ask. Yes, God wants us to honor him financially. It's not too much to ask when you consider everything that he has done for us. And so grace settles the you want me to do what question. Fully devoted followers, secondly, are equipped. We're equipped. Not only are we empowered, we are equipped. Now, equipped means to be supplied with what's required for the task. To be supplied with what's required for the task. In Acts 2, it says this, verse 41. It says, those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 people in all. And all of the believers devoted themselves to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the sharing of meals, the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And so being saved was just the beginning. That was just the start. Then there was a call for devotion, devoting themselves to teaching so that we would learn, devoting themselves to growth, devoting themselves to gathering and building community. And they did it every single day. Every single day they gathered in church and in homes. They devoted themselves to sharing and caring for each other and looking out for each other. They devoted themselves to irrational generosity to the degree, the Bible says, they sold possessions, they brought the money and the proceeds, they laid it at the apostles' feet for the needs of the people that were around the community and within the church community. So these fully devoted followers in the early church, they understood that the grace that saves is only the beginning of the journey that God calls us on. It's only the beginning. They pursued a lifelong journey of spiritual growth. Of spiritual growth. This is where I need us to understand what a disciple is. A disciple is not someone that's spoon-fed. A disciple is not a baby. You know, when you have children in your home, they go through development stages. There is an appropriate stage for them to be a baby. There's an appropriate stage to put the food on a spoon and play the aeroplane game, get them to open their mouth and then stick it in. There's an appropriate season for you to change nappies. There's an appropriate season for you to run after them and every time they cry and when they need you every moment. But then there's another stage where they start to mature and you start to let them go a little bit and they start to grow up. And hopefully they do grow up. And hopefully they leave home. Hopefully they move on and they become a responsible adult themselves and live life themselves because you've brought them through the seasons. And it's the same in church world and our journey with God. There's a time for us to be babies, to be full of need and to be crying out. But then there comes a time where we're an adult. We're an adult. And there comes a time when we are spiritually mature. And it's not about me, it's about others. It's not about me getting, it's about me giving. It's about the contribution I make. It's not about what I receive. But the truth is, as I contribute, I do receive. As I give, I get. I heal as I help others. And there's so much truth in this growth journey being so good for a person in terms of becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus that we get equipped as we do it. We get equipped for the task as we do this. So this is a lifelong process of taking next steps. You know, we're designed for this. We're designed for community. We're designed, a fully devoted follower is someone that's entwined. Everyone say entwined? Not a word you'd normally use. I can't remember the last time I've used the word entwined, to be honest with you, but I've written it in here because it starts with E, and I wanted all my points to start with E. So we're entwined through groups. Entwined means to be twisted together. It means to be interwoven. And it reflects how we are as a community, that we are twisted together. You're my twisted sister. If you know that band, you're naughty. You're my twisted brother. And we are twisted together. And we are interwoven together. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be bound together. To be bound together. To be woven together. When you're so loosely associated and so loosely congregated and so loosely committed, it can fall apart at any moment. You know, it was about 4 months ago that we buried my dad. And at my dad's funeral, my mum very bravely got up and sang a song. And she did a rope thing. A rope had knots tied in it, I think. And we all held it as a family because it was in this COVID-19 period. So we could only have 10 people at the funeral. And so it was very intimate. So mum got up to speak and she passed us all the rope, and we stood around Dad's grave with this rope, and we sang a song together that we used to sing about 40 years ago in church called Bind Us Together, Lord, Bind Us Together, Bind Us Together with Love. And, you know, there's got to be something that binds you together as a family. As a natural family, there's got to be something that binds you together. There's got to be something that binds us together as a spiritual family. What is it that binds us together? It's something that we bring. It's called devotion. I'm devoted to this. I'm part of the fabric of this. I'm part of the twistedness of this. In actual fact, I'm so twisted, I can't untwist. You ever played the game Twister? And you get a mess of human bodies going everywhere, entwined together, and one tries to get out and they all fall over. And there's a sense that we are twisted and entwined together. And I want to be honest with you. I want to tell you where that happens. That doesn't happen in the big rooms. It happens in the small rooms. It happens in the small rooms. And you know, the small rooms are often neglected today in church life because they're not really given the platform and significance that they should be. But I've got to tell you that most of the powerful encounters on the journey that I've had have happened in small rooms, not big rooms. Small rooms. And most of the times I look back in the journey of building church life, the good times have happened in small rooms with the people you've done the journey with. Not the people I've preached to, but the people that we've shared hospitality with and walked with over the years, the different connect groups that I've led. And I was thinking as I was driving in the car this morning that Cheryl and I used to lead a connect group many years ago in our church before it merged into this church and became Impact Church. Many years ago, we used to lead a connect group at South City Christian Church that we pastored at that time. And it used to meet at the Sunnybank Coffee Club on a Saturday morning. And this would have been about 15 years ago, somewhere there. And Pastor Darrell and Marichelle were the members of our connect group. That was it. And we used to meet every Saturday morning at this coffee club for a $5.99 bacon and eggs. And until we started finding hair and cockroaches and everything in our breakfast. But we did it for years and years. And then they had little Hannah. So Hannah's that's running around church now, you know, just about to turn 13 years of age, I think. And she came along the scene. So she came along as a little bubby in our connect group. And we've done the journey together. And here they are pastoring together with us today. A journey of longevity where there's a twistedness. You know, Pastor Darrell and Marichal and Pastor Tony and Cheryl are twisted. 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 There's something interweaved. And that's what happens as you do the journey together with people in the small rooms. Everyone say small rooms? Small rooms are good rooms. Don't ignore the small rooms. Find creative ways to get small rooms, whether it's digital, whether it's like on Zoom e-groups or whatever we call them. We really don't, can I just be honest with you in terms of our connect groups at the moment? We really don't know what we're doing. At the moment, we're kind of mixing this Wednesday night thing where we're having a bit of a pastor's talk and it's beaming into people's homes for connect groups. I don't know how long that model's going to go on for. We just want to find the right way. Everyone say the right way.
Right.
Better. Say the best way. The best way. We want to find the best way to make it work for as many people as we can. Whether we're physically in a home or whether you're in front of a device connecting with people, I don't care how it happens. I just care that it happens.
Yeah.
I just care that it happens because I don't think we can afford to neglect it.
Yeah.
I don't think we can afford to avoid it because that's where your best relationships are built. That's where people are held together. That's where people are known and they know others. That's where people pray for each other. That's where you can share some meals and some generosity and good coffee. That's where you can have a place where you don't stand alone and where people know that you're not there. It's a good place to be in those small rooms. And so we are entwined through groups, and then we are, yeah, they met in homes, we said that. The fully devoted followers are engaged by gifts. Engaged by gifts. To be engaged means to be present and participating. It means to be occupied. Occupied. You know, God has called us to be occupied by our gifts. In other words, this is what we bring to the table when it comes to church world and church life. There is a giftedness on us all. There is a spiritual gift and deposit placed on every life. We not only have a place, the church, we have a part to play in that place. That part is not to be an observer. It's to be a contributor with the gift of God that's on our lives. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 12. He says a spiritual gift is given to each of us, to every one of us, by the Holy Spirit as a means of helping the entire church.
Yes.
Do you know, not only does the pastor need help, the church needs help.
Yeah.
We need your help with your gift that's on your life. When you don't use your gift, we're weaker. We're weaker when you don't use your gift. When you use your gift in the areas that God has called your gift to be used in, and you go on a journey of discovering that and developing that and deploying that gift, then the church becomes stronger. It becomes more radiant, more beautiful, more attractive when you use your gift. And so a fully devoted follower knows their place and finds their part. They know their place and they find their part to play and they fulfill their function. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 2. He says, for you are God's masterpiece. Some of you are saying right now, I knew that. You are. When you woke up this morning, you looked in the mirror, you agreed with that text right there. He just looked in there and he said, masterpiece. That's what you are. You're his masterpiece. And so if you're a masterpiece, it says he created us anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. There's a lot of good things that God has planned for you. And it's not about you becoming mature enough to do it or use the gift. Start using the gift and maturity will find you. You will grow up as you show up. If you don't show up, you're never going to grow up. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, maybe not. Grow up. We're called to grow up. And there's a lot of immaturity in the church because there's no showing up with the gift. See, when the gift shows up, I can help as a pastor to grow it up. But until I see the gift, I can't grow it. Until the seed's in the ground, it doesn't matter. You put water on that soil, nothing's going to come until there's a seed in the ground. We've got to put that gift in the ground and let God do something with it. Let God develop it. Let God speak into it. Let the Word of God speak into it. Let leadership craft it and enhance it and empower it more and more. So don't sit back thinking, well, I haven't been around long enough. I haven't been, you know, walking with God long. I don't know my Bible enough. Maturity comes as you put the seed in the ground and let God do something with it. You know, Ephesians 4, I love this passage of scriptures because it's kind of my job description. So I read this often. Listen to what the verse says. It says, now these gifts are given to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. I don't know whether you realize it, but I'm a gift to you. I'm here to remind you of that today. I'm a gift to you, whether you like it or not. I'm a gift to you. Gift of annoyance. Gift of agitation. I'm a gift. And I'm a gift to do this. Their responsibility, talking about the pastors, the teachers, the apostles, prophets and evangelists, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. It's my responsibility to equip you, challenge you, motivate and inspire you, and call you out on your gift to build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue. Everyone say, this will continue. This will continue. That's the good news. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we'll no longer be like immature children. I think there's a lot of immaturity around the church today. I'm not talking about our church, I'm talking about the church. There's only one down the road. A lot of immaturity around the church today where people are like children. Where they're tossed, it says here, and they're blown around with every wind of new teaching and will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies and that lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes it fit together. In other words, God brought you here. He's going to make you fit as each part does its work. Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? As each part does its work. Not only its work, it's special work. You're special. Special work. It helps other parts to grow. We help each other to grow when we use our gift, so that the whole body is healthy and growing. So God's given gifts to the church with that responsibility. Our responsibility together to be engaged by gifts. And then finally, fully devoted followers are enriched through good stewardship. We're enriched through our giving. We're enriched through our contribution. Enriched means this. It means to improve and enhance the quality and the value of something. To improve and enhance the quality and the value of something. And so fully devoted followers are responsible caretakers for all that God has given into their care. They understand that God's the source of all the good things that come into my life. And out of all the good things that come into my life, I will honor God. I'll honor God financially. I'll make my contribution. I will play my part in that. I will do what the Bible says. I will honor Him with my tithe. I will honor Him with my offerings. I'll be all in. I'll be an above and beyond disciple when it comes to those matters. Sometimes people want to debate with me because I'm a spokesperson in terms of when it comes to giving, about tithing and giving and the call for that. And I always take them to New Testament giving, because New Testament giving is a whole new level, where it says this. Notice what it says. It says all the believers met together in one place and they shared everything they had, and they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. Now, nobody's asking you to do that today, but I'm just saying what it highlights is this. It highlights that a fully devoted follower has an all-in attitude when it comes to God. When it comes to God. So the first thing I've got to ask myself as a devoted follower of Jesus is this question. Is it too much to ask? Is it too much to ask of me in light of everything that Jesus has done for me? In that God has honored and blessed my life, given me work, career, a business, that I would be enriched by participating and honoring Him, that I'd have a commitment to empower the work of the church, a commitment to do that, a commitment to give to God and honor God. You know, New Testament giving touches every area of our lives, every area of our lives. It's not left untouched in any manner. And fully devoted followers live enriched by being generous souls to the Lord, to His church, and to those around. And so today, for me, that's the pattern. The pattern is very simple. It all revolves around the community life that we have together in Church World. that we are empowered by grace, we are equipped to grow, we are entwined through groups and grouping together in things like connect groups, we are engaged by gifts, and we're enriched through good stewardship. Can I ask you to stand to your feet today? If you're at home online today, what do you stand to? Why don't you just change your posture for a moment? In your room, wherever you are, I want to pray for us all today. I want to pray for us to be the church. I'm not praying for us to come to church. I'm praying for us to be the church. You know, this is a season that disrupts our emotions, our relationships, our business, our economies. It changes so much, the restrictions that are placed around people's worlds. And then add on top of that the worry that people empower it with, the anxiety, the panic even that people add to it. It magnifies the disconnectedness. The disconnectedness. And if the church has been famous for anything, it's been famous for the fact that whenever there's come moments of persecution, moments of restriction, that the church has stood to become amazingly brave and beautiful and bold in those moments. So my call is for every one of us to be bold, to be beautiful, as a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ today. That's whether you're in the room or that's whether you're online. To do this journey all in and loud and proud. I want to pray for us today. I want to pray for people today that want to start this journey of following God. Not just attending church, but following God. For people today that want to say yes to Jesus, receive His grace. Today I want to pray for you first of all. And then I'm going to pray for all of us. I want to pray for people that want to say yes to Jesus and get closer to Him, to be made right with God. It's a gift from God. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You get it because God's gracing it to you. He's gifting it to you. He's done everything that needs to be done. All we need to do is believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says if we believe in Jesus Christ, we confess Him with our mouth, we will be made right with God. We will be saved. That's how the whole journey of following God begins. If you've not made that decision today, I want to pray for you today to make that decision. If you're in the room, I'm going to ask you in a moment to lift up your hand to make that decision today and let me know you've made the decision so I can involve you in this prayer. If you're online today, I'd like you into the comment section just to put a comment in there about you making that decision, and we're going to help you with that journey of knowing, loving, following God and getting to know God better. For others that I'm going to pray with today, I'm going to pray for you today that we'd really learn to follow God. You know, Jesus never had a follow-up program. He had a follow me program. And the follow-up was in the following me. So if you're not following, Jesus never followed anybody up. He just said, follow me. And then He looked for those that were following. And that's the follow-up that we need to give our own world, our own lives. That's a responsibility that we need to adopt and take and embrace in our posture to God and each other today, that we're following God wholeheartedly. When you're doing that, the follow-up happens naturally. If you want to say yes to Jesus today and you're in the room while everyone's got their heads bowed, their eyes closed, or maybe you're online today. Would you lift up your hand nice and high if you're in the room today? Let me see your hand. If you're online, why don't you put a comment online right now and say, yes, I want to say yes. Lift up your hand nice and high right now. Let me see your hand if that's you. If you're online, put a comment online right now. We're going to pray for you today. Pray God's blessing and favor and goodness in Jesus' name. Father, we pray today for people that are saying yes to Jesus for the first time. Maybe some coming home from being away a long time. Praying today that You would come and make people's hearts right with You now. Forgive people of their sin. Establish Your Lordship in their lives is what we pray today. Whether online, whether in the room, do Your work of amazing grace in people's hearts today. For the rest of us today, help us to be fully devoted in our pursuit of You. Fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Empowered, equipped, engaged, entwined in every way, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. We're going to finish with this beautiful worship song as we complete our service today. Thank you.